The message for today is, it's a bit loud, Melvin, I'm on number 14. Just turn it down a bit. The message for today is, you are God's choice. Did you know that? You are God's choice. Where are your smiles? It should thrill you that God has chosen you. We are called here on this earth for a mission. We've got a calling. As believers, we are not just called to sit around and wait for the glorious day when we will be in heaven. We actually have a purpose while we are here. And we're going to look at Ephesians. Ephesians is an amazing book. It's such a, you sound on this mic, isn't it? Maybe try the other one. I don't know why. Sorry about that. Is that better?
Yes.
That's a bit better, yeah. If we are in Ephesians today, Ephesians is an amazing book. And we're starting off in the very first verse. Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So Paul is writing to the saints in Ephesus, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is an amazing statement, how to introduce yourselves. I would like you to look at this verse again. And now I would like for you to put your name in there. Read it again. And say something like, Samuel, a doctor by the will of God. Corinne, a lecturer by the will of God. Anne, a housewife by the will of God. George, a school teacher by the will of God. Do you see? God appoints people to all different kinds of missions in your life. And it's a mistake if we try to do something, but it's not what God has called us to do. It's a mistake. If God hasn't equipped us for it, we will find that it's just not really quite working. And we're not quite enjoying it. We're not quite... What is God's highest calling in your life? Your highest calling is that which God has called you to do. There's a misconception in Christian circles to think if you're called to be an evangelist, that's the highest calling. But not everybody's called to be an evangelist. Because the scripture says that God appoints certain people for this, and evangelists. Meaning, therefore, it's not absolutely everybody. So your highest calling is that which God has called you. And something happens when you enter in to that which God has called you to do. It flows. You feel a level of satisfaction. You know you're in the right place. And in the church, we need to be very careful that we don't forget about the jobs which are not in the church but are out there in society. Because God is interested in all of life. If everybody was preachers, who's going to drive the bus? You have to walk home because there's no bus driver. You have to bake your own bread because there's no bakers anymore. So God is interested for all of society. We read that in scripture, how God would appoint kings and God would appoint people to different roles. And when they were building the temple, you read about specific jobs and people that had been equipped with specific skills and they were blessed by the Lord to perform these things. And they found such fulfillment. So, go back to verse 1 again. Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. Put your own name in there. Put your own name in there. Now, Paul wasn't always an apostle. So, we know that we can go through different chapters in our lives. I wasn't always a pastor. I was working in the high-tech industry. I was in a different chapter of my life. And so there's different chapters in our lives, especially for those with families and young children. You're in one season in life, and then we move into other seasons in life. And it's important to recognize that. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Also like it the way that the New Living puts it across. It says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than the people." Remember that in your day-to-day job. Whatever service you provide, whatever products you produce, you do it as unto the Lord. So your work, think about your work and what you do as you're doing it for God. You are working for God. Yes, you will have a manager. Yes, you will have someone that you are accountable to. But the scripture shows us here, we do it as unto the Lord. When we do it as unto the Lord, we do it to the very best of our ability, with high integrity. That is how we can be an example. That is how our lives can be a witness. We don't cut corners. No, we do that which is right. Because God is interested in all aspects of our life. Many years ago, I think it was the first time that I met Jeannie. Some of you will remember Jeannie. Yeah, she's a prophetess. And she'd come to visit the church here in Livingston, but we were away on a holiday, so we missed her. And when we came back, everybody was so excited. We thought, oh, we need to go away on holiday more because people seem to get blessed when we are gone. And we missed it. But then she came again, and she was staying in the house. And I walked home, and I came home from work one evening, and she just looked at me and had not met her before. And she said, "I've got a prophetic word for you." And she started to prophesy. And in the midst of this prophetic word, that was just two lines, because I typed it all out. And the scripture tells us you must record the word of the Lord so that you can pray into it and fight for it. But in the midst of this prophetic word, she said, "Oh, the Lord says, I see a promotion. Even although it doesn't look so in the natural, God says there's a promotion coming." Well, when I got that word, I thought, wow, whoa, God is really interested in my work, because I had been pursuing the next level up, but I was up against the glass ceiling, you know, just no matter what I did. And eventually I thought, okay, it's just not going to happen, you know, I've done my best. I kept trying, it's not going to happen. And then I got the word of the Lord, and that changed everything. Number one, it told me that God was interested in my career. God is interested in your career. God pays attention. That was number one. Number two, he said there was a promotion coming. Number three, he said it doesn't look so in the natural. Boy, was I glad he said that. Because this was a time where they were laying people off. This was a time of redundancies worldwide. So it's not the time that you expect to get a promotion. But I took the word of the Lord and I thought, okay, this is it. God has spoken. Every day when I drove to work, I would say, "God, thank you, I'm getting a promotion. And you said it doesn't look like it. And it sure doesn't look like it, but I'm getting a promotion because you've said so. Thank you, Lord, you are giving me a promotion. It is you that are doing it." So this is all scriptural. Because the Bible teaches us that it's God that gives us the ability to create wealth so that we can perform that which he's called us to do. These are all the biblical principles. So everything in the Word was according to Scripture. I prayed this for 6 months. Every opportunity for promotion, I applied and nothing happened. Then one day, I get this phone call. I was with this company for 22 years. I can tell you, these things never, ever, ever, ever happen. But this vice president from the US phoned me up and he said, I want you to come and work for me. And here is the job, here was the promotion. This never happens because you go through layer upon layer of interviews and scrutinies and analysis, etc., etc. I knew this was God. I knew this was God. He said, I'll give you a week to think about it. I thought, I don't need to think about it. God already told me. He wouldn't have understood that. But this was God. This was God. Never ever happened. But you see, when God speaks, you fight for it. You take the word of God and you fight for it. And I knew that God was teaching me. God was teaching me there. Yes, he was blessing me with a promotion. Yes, he was. But there was a bigger thing that was happening. I was learning to take the word of God and to stand on it and to fight for it, contend for it until it happens. This is how we do it. And when God speaks, very often he'll tell us something that sounds so ridiculous you just can't believe it. But you've got to go before the Lord constantly, again and again and again, and thank God for you. And as you thank the Lord, your faith rises. You can wait a minute. God has spoken. He's the one. Remember, God is outside of time. He's already been in our future. So when he speaks, he's already seen it. So therefore, just step into it and believe it. God is interested in every aspect of our life. You can know what the will of God is for your life. Psalm 37 verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. God delights in us. The steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. So when we walk with the Lord, step by step, he will show us. So you can know God's will for you. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. You can know the will of God. You can know what you are by the will of God. Paul was a tent maker as well as an apostle. That was his choice. He chose not to be a burden to the church. And so you see in Scripture, you see people who are full-time in the ministry, you know, the Levites, and you know that they would be supported by the church. But you also see people like Paul, the tremendous calling, choosing not to be a burden to the church. So he had his own little business. He had his own business. He was self-employed and supported himself. Last month, Melvin and I attended the Assemblies of God conference, and one of the speakers was J. John, and as you know, he's just a tremendous speaker. And one of the things he said really spoke to me. And there was a little bit of kind of joking going on, because this was on the last day and we'd been together for 3 days. So there was a little bit of joking going on between the Anglicans and the Pentecostals, and just a little bit of laughing. And some of them were saying, oh, you know, we're so busy, you can't get on these people's agenda. But J. John came out with a really strong statement. He said, I'm not too busy. And everybody's gone, oh, he's not too busy. Such an important man of God. He says, I'm not too busy. I'm not too busy. He says, you will always have enough time to do what God has called you to do. You will always have enough time to do what God has called you to do. So if you're finding you don't have enough time, you're probably doing something that God has not called you to do. I thought it was a really profound statement, isn't it? Because we end up sometimes tying ourselves in a knot, being busy, 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 and trying to cover all the holes. Yeah. Amazing. Paul, an apostle by the will of God, to the saints, that's to you and me. And then we've got this whole epistle, this whole letter is focusing on in Christ Jesus. When you read this epistle, you will find these phrases: in him, by whom, in whom, through whom, through him. And it's all focused on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. It's all focused on the things that you and I have through and in Christ Jesus. And you will find this over and over and over in the following chapters. So the key word here to unlock this epistle is, he tells us all that you are, all that God has done for you, all that God is going to do for you, and all that God wants to do for you in Christ Jesus. This is really key for us to grasp. When we go to verse 2, Ephesians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. In Scripture, grace and peace always goes together. Grace is always first, and then peace. We need to experience the grace of God in order to receive the peace of God. How can we have peace with God, or how can we receive the peace of God, unless we receive salvation by grace? So once we receive by grace, then we can be at peace, because we receive his wonderful salvation. We see this all through in the New Testament. It is not a gospel based on our works, because when we focus on our work, we are going to end up in condemnation, because we're always going to fail. Sooner or later, we will fail. And that's why these epistles are so important to us, because Paul is preaching to us what God has done for us, rather than telling us what we must do for God. You see, there's a deep principle here, focusing on what the Lord has done for us, rather than what we must do for him. And then it says, in Christ Jesus. His name is Jesus. It's the Greek for Yeshua. Jehovah is salvation. Christ is the Hebrew word for Messiah, which is describing his mission to come and to save us. He's God's promised Savior, the Anointed One, and then Lord is the title. His name is not Lord, that's his title. And Christ describes his mission. Then we go on to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's thanking God for the spiritual blessings. It's good to thank the Lord for material blessing. That's good. But that's not what Paul is emphasizing. He's emphasizing the spiritual blessings. Typically, when we are just saved, we may be focusing on the material blessing. Thank you for my new shoes today, Lord. Thank you for my new shoes. Thank you that I passed the exam. You know, it's just... But Paul is focusing on the spiritual blessing. And then he spends the next three chapters explaining and laying out all these spiritual blessings. Actually, I've read that in the original language from Ephesians 1, from verse 3 all the way to verse 14 in the original language, that was all one sentence. I was really blown away by that. It's really quite a lot to take in, isn't it? From verse 3 to 14, all in one sentence. I think King James can be quite long in their sentences as it is, but that's nothing compared to the original language, is it? So Paul goes on, and these spiritual blessings that he's thanking God for, he's using three chapters just to describe them. Three chapters. We are too focused at times on how what we are doing. We are doing this and we are doing that. And we are doing good things. But if we over-focus on what we are doing, it's not really the gospel. The gospel is what God has done for us. And we don't want to bring condemnation by constantly focusing on what we ought to be doing, because you're, at some point you're going to feel, oh, I'm not really praying enough, I'm not reading the scripture enough, I'm not speaking in tongues enough, I'm not witnessing enough. You over-focus on that. But Paul has shown us, no, there's a better way. There's a better way. Focus and meditate on what God has done. Focus on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he is doing and what he's going to do. Focus and understand and ask the Holy Spirit to give you greater revelation of him. Because when we get greater revelation of what he has done and what it means, then the Holy Spirit flows through us. We become, our lives become a living witness because it just flows. You automatically lay hands on the sick and they will be recovering. You automatically cast out demons. It just comes naturally when we get revelation of what the Lord has done for us. This is the true gospel. He goes on about these, all the spiritual blessings for three chapters. And it's only when he's finished these three chapters, then he says, this is the key word, he says, now walk worthy of this glorious calling. Whoa. Now walk worthy of this glorious calling. So three chapters he goes on what God has done for us. Once you've got that, when you understand these blessings, when you get that revelation, then the command is to walk worthy of that calling. Wow, what God has done for us. Let that be established deep inside of us. And in the New Testament, it's always that way around. You never find it the other way around, that you do things first and then you discover who God is. It's always understanding what we are in Christ Jesus, what he has purchased for us. It is always, always that way around, because in our own strength, we will never measure up. The day after I gave my heart to the Lord, I thought, okay, I'm a Christian now. I better live a good life. When it came to just that evening, I realized I'd failed. I was only on day one, I'd failed already. Because I knew the thoughts that were in my heart that were really selfish. I knew. The vast majority of people, they already know they have sin in their life. We don't need to go and tell them. What we need to tell them is, someone has paid the price for your sin. You don't need to pay the price. You can be set free. That is the gospel. So focus on what God has done, not what we are trying to do. But once we get the revelation, then Paul says, now walk worthy of his glorious calling. That is our challenge. But we need that deeper revelation. I believe we need to pray every day and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit to give us deeper revelation, because that's the key. I've been asking the Lord over the last couple of months to give me greater revelation of what he means in the book of Acts when he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. And as a result, we've seen more people getting healed. Because it's that revelation of God has already done it. God has already done it. It is not our doing. We're just to go and to command that sickness to go. You see, that the boldness of the Holy Spirit comes on us because we have that revelation of the Word of God, which is so powerful. Let's go on to verse 4, Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us. He has chosen you, he has chosen me. And you who are listening online, God has chosen you, but he's given you a free will to choose. But it's for the whosoever. The whosoever will believe. If you choose to believe and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has chosen you, but he doesn't force you. This is the wonderful gospel. That's why it's called the good news. He chose us. He chose me. Isn't that just wonderful to know that God chose you? What sort of things do you choose in your life? There's some big choices we make in life. We choose who's going to be a life partner, who's going to be our spouse. We choose who we're going to spend the rest of our life, because it's until death or separate, right, when you get married. So you choose who you're going to spend your life with. God has chosen you to spend eternity with. He chose you. He chose you. It says, before the foundation of the world. So God didn't wait until my life was tidied up. He chose me while I was still a sinner. He chose you when you were still in the mess, when you were still bound up in sin. God chose you because God has the foreknowledge. Do you know that God knows everything? That means that there's nothing new that for God to learn. He doesn't look at you and then says, wow, I never knew that. I never knew that she had these terrible thoughts. No, because God knows everything in advance. So when you come to the Lord and confess your sin, he's not shocked at all. I mean, he knew it already. He's just so delighted that you've chosen to receive his forgiveness. He's so delighted that you are accepting the free gift of salvation. So we don't need to fear coming before God. We're not going to shock him. He knows already. And it says that he's chosen you. He's chosen you before the foundation of the world. He's picked you. Just like you picked your life partner, God has picked you. And he's picked to spend eternity with you. He's chosen you. Because when you read in the end of the Bible, it says God will make there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and God himself will come down and live with us. How amazing! He's chosen me for eternity. So wonderful. James said, known unto him are all things from the beginning. God has all this knowledge. It's according to his foreknowledge, because he knew in advance, and so he's picked us. Praise God. And when we come to the end of our day, when I come to the end of the day, one day we will all stand before God. But when we stand before him and God looks at us, it is Jesus who will step and say, that's one of mine. She's mine. see, I don't stand in my own righteousness. I stand in the righteousness of Christ. So precious. That's our confidence in what He has done. That day when we stand before God, He will see the righteousness of Christ. Jesus will say, Father, that's one of mine. She's innocent. She's without fault. He's without fault. That's what Jesus will say about you. Because of what God has done. What Jesus has done. That's what He'll say about you. Not because of your work. Your works will be rewarded. There are rewards, but our salvation is fully paid for. Oh, how glorious. It's not my work, it's not my effort. My salvation is what Christ has done for me. And then in verse 5 and verse 6, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Oh, so glorious what God has done for us. God has chosen you. He's chosen you and He's equipping you for particular purposes. This applies to you in your personal life. This applies to you in your work life, in your family life. It applies to you in your church life. I've been really blessed just to hear some of your testimonies, how God called you to come and live in Livingston. I think it's amazing how God sends people to Livingston. You're not here by accident. You're not here just arbitrary. You're here for the plans of God. And you're here for a specific purpose. We have a specific mandate here at Life Center to be a center to host the presence of God. This is why we spend time in worship. This is why we don't worry if the worship leader worships for an hour. What is 1 hour? He is so worthy of all of our praise. An hour is nothing. The angels, there's angels that are worshiping constantly, forever and ever. What is 1 hour? This is a part of our calling. We don't apologize for having long worship. We don't apologize for allowing the Holy Spirit. We are going for the things of the Spirit. We are called to be people of the Holy Ghost. This is why we believe in the speaking of tongues. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe, we unashamedly go for the power of the Holy Ghost. We cannot be satisfied with anything less than the life that we read about in the book of Acts. God hasn't changed. Oh, I know that we fail many times. I know that. But we must still contend for that same faith. So we are called to be a resource center, to raise up apostolic prophetic people, people that know how to cast out the demons and how to heal the sick. Oh, I thought that was for special people. Well, those special people are called saints. Believers. If you're a believer, it's your commandment from Jesus. So it's our job to teach you how to do that. And then it's your job to go and do it. How do you get to that point? By getting the revelation of what God has done. The power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has imparted into you. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives inside of you. So if somebody's got a headache, you command it to go. And it has to obey. We've got a mandate to teach and equip and to send out. We've got a mandate for extended and deep worship. This church has got an anointing to birth signs and miracles in the darkest of places. I know some people don't really enjoy the fact that there's a bar in here. Actually, there's probably about 5 or 6 or 7 bars in here. But the prophetic word came and said, this building was actually built for God's purposes, that the gospel would be preached. I count it such a privilege. There's many people that get to preach the word of God inside of a church. I count it a significant privilege that we get to worship God, to speak his word in a place that's had a lot of darkness. I think that's such a privilege. I think that's really exciting, that God takes a dark place and opens it up. Don't worry, it's all been cleaned out. All the wrong spirits are all locked up. They have no more power. Now this building is dedicated for the glory of God. And we are tasked. We have the privilege to invite people in. We can reach people that maybe wouldn't go in to a place with a church steeple. There are people that used to come here when there was a nightclub. We want to see them for the kingdom of God. Invite them in. Invite them in. It's next week that we have, next Sunday morning, we have our outreach Sunday where we will have and share a meal together after the service. And so that is a Sunday that we encourage every one of you to invite somebody. Invite a neighbor, somebody from your work, invite somebody to come along. The gospel will be preached. Every time we have a meal event, it's an outreach event. You can bring somebody along and be assured the gospel will be preached. People will hear about the love of God, the transforming power of Jesus. And on Wednesday at the ladies' meeting, there's a friendship event where we invite the new ladies in because we want to bring people along to hear that Jesus saves. It's exciting days ahead. We're in the strawberry season. We are in the strawberry season. There was a prophetic word. The revival starts in the strawberry season and we are in it. We are in it. Revival is here. The Holy Spirit is here. We give him praise. Let's just bow before the Lord as we finish this section.